Amen. Thank you for that special. We sure need the Lord's help. If you would open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and when you find your place there, would you stand with me if you're able? Matthew chapter 6, we continue our study through the Sermon on the Mount, learning about the kingdom of God and how to be citizens in that kingdom, how Jesus expects us to behave within his kingdom. At the end of chapter 5, we were really dealing with kingdom corrections, and he's really fixing the false interpretations of the law in the end of chapter 5. And now in chapter 6, he's going to continue correcting some things, but now he's going to correct their devotions, how that they interacted in the kingdom. And it really has a outward focus, an upward focus, and an inward focus as he deals with almsgiving and prayer and fasting. And so it's outward, it's upward, it's inward. And he's going to correct that and make sure that our devotions, as we live out the Christian life in his kingdom, are done the right way for the right reasons. Because, friends, motives matter. And God is always looking on our hearts. So what's going on the outside is good and it matters, but it has to start the heart. It has to begin there. So we're going to pray and ask God to bless his word. And as we pray, I'm going to ask Brother Nelson, if you would, to lead us in this prayer. And while you're still standing, Matthew 6, verse 1 says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and that thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." Amen. Please be seated. As we start into this section that really has to do with our devotions and what we do, we're dealing with the fact that the hypocrites of the day and the ones that Jesus is trying to correct had made their religion a show. They had made it a performance. And our religion, our response to God, the way we live out our faith in Jesus, cannot be a show. It cannot be a spectator sport. It has to be devotion from a heart that has been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Pharisees turned worship into theater. He says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them." The root of this idea of to be seen of them is literally in the Greek, the word we get theater from. Okay, and many years ago, they started having theater, and people go to movie theaters today, and they still have shows on Broadway, and there's all kinds of theater that's put on. And we get that, right? You're a spectator. You go to see a show that's put on where people are pretending to be something that they're not. By the way, just as a side note, those who idolize Hollywood stars are idolizing a character they play in a movie, not the actual person behind them. And if you're getting all of your truth from some Hollywood star, you might just think about the fact that they are professional liars. They're professional pretenders. And they don't actually know a lot of stuff sometimes except how to pretend to be something else. I'm always amazed at how America will follow Hollywood stars. They follow them like lemmings off of a cliff because they were good in a movie. Listen, I get it. You like the character they played in the movie, but that doesn't mean that the person behind that has any sense at all. Amen. Amen. Do you feel blessed? That was all for free. It's not even part of the sermon. Amen. Listen, we want to follow Jesus because he is truth. And why would we go away from him to follow somebody else? He has the words of life. Who else are we going to follow? So be careful which pop star you're following. Be careful which Hollywood star you're letting be your influencer. And be influenced by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So it was all about theater. It was all a show. They put it on. And by the way, they did a really good job of it. They were very moral people, and they were very religious people, and they very much outwardly looked really good and did a lot of good things outwardly. As a matter of fact, Jesus would commend them and say, listen, you're giving tithes of the tiniest seeds, and that's good. You ought to do that. But you shouldn't leave off the weightier matters of the law, like justice and mercy and all of those things. You ought to do both, right? So Jesus isn't condemning giving alms. He's condemning doing it for a show. So he says to give your alms. So there's a warning against performance religion, a warning against performance religion. And really, that's the whole principle from verses 1 all the way down to verse 18. Now, immediately, somebody would say, ah, it's a contradiction. Jesus says that you should do these things in secret. But he says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. So which one is it? Let man see your good works or do your good works in secret? Which way is it, Christian? Your Bible's got all these contradictions, but you're missing the whole point. It's not that no one can ever see you do something good. It's just that when somebody sees you do good, your goal is for them to glorify God. It's not that they're never going to see you do good. His whole point is to strive to do your good deeds in secret, not to be seen of men, not to put on a show. So there's a warning against performance religion. When our good works are seen, they glorify God. When good works are seen by those who are putting on a show, it's so self is glorified. The same act that you do could be righteous or hypocritical depending on why you do it. Now he's talking about giving alms, and really this when Jesus says, do as thine alms, This phrase means to, it's charitable acts, it's righteous deeds, okay? So it certainly would include almsgiving, but it goes beyond that. So any good deed that you do, your goal is not to be seen of men, your heart is not to be seen of men, your heart is to do good for the glory of God, okay? So it goes beyond just giving alms. But what is almsgiving? Well, it was a big deal in this day. That when you were a follower of God, you would be good to poor people and you would help them. We read about them all the time, right? We read about the blind beggar who would sit in the way. We read about the lame man who would sit at the gate of the temple begging, okay? Well, giving alms means that you would carry your money with you, and when you saw someone in need, you would give those alms. We might call it what do you call it on your taxes, charitable donations? Okay, so the IRS sees those as charitable donations. So this is when you're giving to help somebody in need. It was very much a reality in their world today because they didn't have a welfare system like we have today. There was no government check that you could get. The Romans, I promise you, were not taking care of poor, maimed, blind, or lame Jews or anybody else. Everybody with me? Romans didn't care. So they depended on the generosity and the kindness of people who were following God. But like humans do all the time, they had messed it all up. As a matter of fact, the Tobit, the writings of the Jews would say this, alms doth deliver from death and shall purge away all sin. In Sirach 3:30, it says, alms maketh an atonement for sins. So the Jews that Jesus is talking to in his day, not only did they see it as a good and kind and charitable thing that you would give to the poor, they actually believed that it was salvific. They believed that by giving to the poor, they would earn their way into heaven. So I just want you to think about this as you study your Bible. Do you remember when Jesus said it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom? You guys remember that? Okay, well, he said it, so you can agree with me. Okay? And the disciples were astonished. The people that heard him were amazed because they didn't get that. So just put two and two together with me. If they believed that by giving to the poor, that's how you got into heaven, then it stands to reason that a rich man who had a lot of extra money to give would certainly be able to earn his way into heaven because he had a lot to give to the poor. And so when Jesus said, by being rich, that's not the way into heaven, they were like, wait a minute, we don't understand. Our rabbis have been telling us from the time we were children that by giving alms, that's how you earn your way into eternal life. That's how you get your sins atoned for. Listen to me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm so thankful that you know that today. So what does it mean? Well, if giving to the poor isn't going to get me into heaven, then I shouldn't worry about giving to the poor then. No. No, listen to me. Our Father in heaven has always pleaded the case of the poor and needy. Always. He loves the poor and the needy, and we reflect the love of Christ when we give to the poor and needy. Now listen, I get there's some real practicalities to that day, and you're going to have to be Spirit-led, and you're going to have to study it out, and you're going to have to really pray to know who is actually poor and needy, and who should I help and who should I not. But guess what? The Holy Spirit of God can handle that. I don't have to stand up here and list for you who you should help and who you shouldn't. The Spirit of God will help you with that. But I'm going to tell you this. If the heart and spirit of Christ is in you, then you will have a heart to help others. If you have no love for the poor and needy in your heart today, then the love of Christ is not in you. You say, well, we do have welfare here, and there aren't really any poor people here. Listen, you figure that out. You pray about that. I'm just telling you that we ought to have a heart to help those who are in need. Amen. And I get it. I get it. I can almost feel you guys burning holes in me right now. Listen, I get it. I understand. Sometimes you're not actually helping somebody. You're enabling somebody. I understand that. And that's serious, and that's real, and you're going to have to pray about that. Right? Does everybody know what I'm talking about right now? Sometimes you're not actually helping somebody. You're enabling them to continue in a lifestyle of sin, and it's not helping them. It's actually hurting them. I understand that. But I don't get to be the one to stand on your shoulder and tell you what to do and what not to do. You have the Spirit of God living inside of you to help you make those decisions. I'm just saying that every time you see somebody who's poor and needy, you have no heart for them, no desire to help them, no desire to see them bettered in their lives and their circumstances, then something's wrong in your heart. That's all I'm trying to tell you. We don't want to put on a show, though. And man, they like to put on a show. These Pharisees like to pray, but they didn't want to go into their closet to pray. They wanted to stand on the street corners for everyone to hear. They wanted to go out to eat at the restaurant. They wanted to stand up in the middle of El Toro and pray really loud for everyone to hear how holy and righteous they are, and waxing eloquent in their very best King James language to pray for everyone in the restaurant to hear. Come on. Listen, they put on a show, and they did it with their praying, and they did it with their fasting, and we're going to see those things, but they did it with their giving. I'm told that they had in the temple when they gave their alms. He says here, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet, in verse 2, before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So there was a hypocrisy that was behind the Pharisaical way of giving. And listen, here's the way they did it. He says, in the synagogues and in the streets. My understanding is back in those days, they didn't pass the plate like we do. They had boxes that would sit outside at the coming in of the synagogue and certainly in the temple as well. And they tell me, history says that the tops of those things had a metal funnel on top. So you would pour your coins in. Now, they didn't have paper money like we have today. Their money actually had value because This is actually made of something, right? And backed by something? Okay. I'm just saying. But they would bring in their bags of money, and they would go in, and they had those metal funnels to funnel it down into the box. And can you imagine the noise that that would make? You guys with me right now? I doubt it was like this. I doubt it went like this. Have you guys remember those places where you could donate money in, like, the restaurants and stuff, and it had the funnel? You guys know what I'm talking about? I was never so happy to see one of my quarters go away as watching that. You put it in at the top, and it would go around all the way. Please raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, God bless you. Thank you. I'm so glad you do. But I don't think that the Pharisees walked up and put one in at a time. No, they took their bag of money and they dumped it in, and it made a big noise so everybody could see. And they did. Remember, they thought that's how you got into heaven. They were giving. It was their charitable donation, and people would watch and they would say, oh, man. Oh, man, that guy. I mean, look at the bags of money he's pouring in there. He's certainly getting to go to heaven. But you remember one day Jesus was there? And I bet nobody else there noticed her. It was a little widow woman. She had two mites. I'm talking about two coins that were like a fraction of a penny. And she threw them in. And I doubt they made any noise at all. And I imagine if anybody was watching, they probably thought, I don't think she gave anything. I think she just faked it. I think she just pretended to throw something in. I bet she didn't give anything. But God saw. And the Lord Jesus said, she's given more than everyone here. Because out of her want, out of her need, out of her poverty, she gave even what she had to live on that day. You know what that meant? That meant that lady, that widow woman who didn't have anybody to care for her, that meant that she went home and she didn't eat that day. Because she had a heart for others and a heart for God. What a testimony. Their almsgiving was a performance. It was a show. But then he also talks about in the street. Now, I don't know for sure if this is right or not, but it's my understanding that sometimes people would go and they literally had a little silver trumpet that they would blow. And they would go out into the village or the town or the city, out into the street, and they would blow a trumpet to let the poor people know that they were giving away money. So it was like an announcement. And it's not like they could send everybody a text. Right? They didn't get an email, or there wasn't an announcement on the local news to say, hey, there's food at the food bank today or whatever. Like there was no other way. So they would go out, but listen, they would blow the trumpet to let all the poor folks know that they were giving away, and it would draw everybody in and they would give to them. Now listen, it wouldn't be bad to let everybody know, hey, if you need something, come and get it. The problem is God knew their heart, and what they were blowing the trumpet for was not so much to let the people know that they were there to give to them. It was to let everybody know that they were giving. You see the difference? It's not a bad thing. We got to go on the mission trip to Sykeston. One of my favorite things that we did, the Missouri Food Bank, they gather up food from all over the state, and then they let people who need food know when and where to come and get it. And what we got to do was the people lined up, and we stood out there, and we gathered up all the food and organized it, and each car got a certain amount of stuff and everything, but we got to go out and give gospel tracts to everybody. We got to walk through the line while they were waiting to get their what they needed, and we got to talk to them, and we got to pray with them, we got to preach the gospel to them, and it was a good thing. It's not a bad thing to, hey, let everybody know if you need something, come here at this time and you can get what you need. That's not bad. Especially if you're doing it for the purpose of giving them the gospel. Amen. That's a good thing. But when you're doing it so that everybody knows what you've done, that's the problem. Amen. They had hypocrisy. It was a performance, and they believed that it was going to save people. They made giving charitably. They made almsgiving, they made their charitable deeds, they made it a theater for their pride. And they made it a means of earning salvation. How heartbreaking. So Jesus here is condemning the false motive, seeking the praise of men, and the false theology, thinking that giving is what saves us. But Jesus changes it. And in verse 3 he says, but when thou doest alms... Now, some might think I'm going to make too much of this, but Jesus says, when thou doest alms. And it seems to me that the Lord is indicating that it is expected for those in his kingdom to give alms. He doesn't say if you do, or should you occasion to, or if you feel like it. It's just an expectation. Just like praying and fasting, he says, when you pray and when you fast, our Savior expects us to do those things. It's just, if you're in the kingdom, that's something you're going to do. And so when you do your alms, when you give charitably, when you do kind deeds, and let me make sure we make this clear today, it's not just giving money to the poor. It's not just, you know, calling the number, giving them your credit card when you see that really sad ad on TV. It's not just giving to something, somebody like that. I'm talking about doing kind things or good things or helpful things to anybody. And it might be that you're giving money, but it might be that you're giving your time. It might be that you're using the abilities God's given you to help somebody else. It may be money, but it might be a lot of other things too. Buddy, everybody tracking with me? I serve him by serving others, and I give him of my time, my talents, and my treasures, and I give time, talent, and treasure to everybody else too. That's how we serve him. Amen. When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Listen, when you do it for a show, you know what I'm talking about? It's so hard to find a common comparison to this today, but I'll just say this. Sometimes businesses will give to local organizations or charities, and they do it for advertisement. But it gets that right. Okay? So if the local bank wants to write a giant check as big as the stage and have their logo splattered all over it, and they want to let everybody in town know that they donated to this cause or organization, and they do it for advertisement purposes, whatever. It's a business, whatever. But I'm just, let me say this. You and I can't do that. Right? You can't go down to the local food bank and take a giant check and take a picture and post it on social media and say, look at what I gave. Right? Our purpose, our motive has to be different. This afternoon, we're going to have a little time of Q&A, and I'm excited about it because I can't wait to hear some of the questions that you guys have about giving. Because you want to get people, I didn't let anybody know we were talking about giving today because some of you wouldn't have showed up. People have this, and especially in America today, pastors and those other fake pastors on TV have abused the teaching of giving to the point that people, even good meeting, godly, Christ-following Christians, get something wrong in their craw whenever somebody starts talking about giving. Don't let people who have messed it up turn you away from what the Bible actually says. Right? I know I can hear it. I've had people tell me, all you preachers ever do is beg for money. Just begging, begging, begging for money. And the guys that have told me that, I'm like, well, how would you know? You've never been here before. Every time I show up, they're begging for money. Yeah, imagine once every 5 years they do. Anyway, sorry. Here I am being judgmental. Forgive me. I'm not up here to try to beg for your money. I got good news for you. God doesn't need your money. He wants you to give, and we'll talk about this afternoon, the heart behind it and why you give and all those things, but I just get this. If you think God needs your money, then you have no idea. You don't know who he is. You don't know. But when you give, you don't give it to be seen. When you do your alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. So you can picture this, right? You're walking into the temple to worship like Peter and John did. And the lame man's laying there begging. Now, and that day, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. He gave way more, right? In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man was healed immediately, got up and started running and leaping and praising God and jumping. And it was a glorious day. But let me tell you this, Jesus' followers before that day would walk by. They didn't have the miraculous ability that Peter had that day. What they did have was some change in their pocket. They had some coins in their little satchel, their little pouch. And here's the kind of giving Jesus wanted you to do. When that poor man's laying there begging, you don't make a show of it and stop and let everybody know that you're giving. You just walk by, and as discreetly as you can, you reach in and grab a few coins, and you drop them, and you keep walking. The idea of not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing, it just means that you're being very discreet. Without even a thought, I see a need, I'm going to do what I can to meet the need, and I don't need anybody else to know about it. It's just that simple. Everybody tracking? There's so many online things to give to people, and I know that you're bombarded with them all the time, just like I am. Every time I get on Facebook, there's another GoFundMe for somebody, and there's opportunities and heart to give. You can do whatever you want to, but I'm just going to tell you, I think the Jesus way is to not let everybody know that you gave. There's an anonymous checkbox there. You have to let everybody know that you gave. You don't have to let everybody know what you gave. It's between you and God. Does that make sense? It's very easy. Or you can put your name and a big amount of money and let everybody know what you've done, and that will be your reward. But how about this? How about you just do it in secret? And what you do in secret, your Father, which sees in secret himself, shall reward you. I would so much rather have the reward of whatever God thinks that he wants to give me than the applause of men. Wouldn't you? How's that even a contest? No, I want to give. I want to give the way that God wants me to give. I want to give according to his purposes and his plans. This afternoon, I'm going to try to move into what the Bible does say about giving. Here Jesus is telling us, don't give like the hypocrites do. Give secretly. And we want to give in a way that we're not looking to reward ourselves, but that we give, and the only one who knows is God. It's just God. But this afternoon, we're going to talk about how giving is worship. We're going to talk about how giving is an imitation. It is a following. It is being like Jesus who gave. We're going to talk this afternoon about how giving is supposed to be done and the heart and the character behind it. And so I hope you'll be here at 1 o'clock this afternoon and get some of these things. But I'm going to tell you this, we got to give secretly. Jesus teaches that. We need to give regularly. We ought to give proportionately as God has prospered us. We also ought to give sacrificially. If it's not sacrifice, it's not really even getting into the idea of giving. We ought to give cheerfully. And we ought to give Christ-centeredly. Jesus gave everything for us. Amen. And so when we give, we reflect the heart of Christ. I'm going to ask you to stand and our musicians to come. We can give because he gave. We're enabled to give because of what he's given to us. Now, there's a picture of that in our giving. God's blessed you and you have an abundance and you're able to give to somebody else in need, even if it's very small. It's a blessing. But friend, how much greater is this a picture of the gospel? God gave his only son who died for you, who was buried and rose again. He paid the debt for your sin. Because he gave everything, you get eternal life. And now you get to take the gift that you've been given and you get to share it with other people. You see, this all is going to point back to the gospel always. When we think about giving, we think about helping those in need. What greater need could we meet than to tell someone about Jesus, the mighty to save? This morning, there might be somebody in this room or watching online who's never been born again. I plead with you today that you put your faith in Jesus, trust in him with all your heart. And if you know him, that you would ask him to help you to make him known, to go and take the gospel to a lost and dying world. Friends, listen, America is white already to harvest. This week in particular has brought about a time in our nation's history where people are ripe to hear and believe the gospel. Take advantage. At work, at school, online, in every avenue you have, preach Jesus with boldness and with love, because there are many who are ready to be saved. So believe on him today, and if you've believed on him, then follow him. Take the next step. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to commit yourself to serve him in this local church. I don't know what it is, but if the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, you come. Respond in obedience of faith as we sing.